With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to Good Job, where we interview some inspiring people from the music industry, follow their journey from their very worst job to present day, and find out what makes them them. That was Josh giving us his best high-pitched roar. Each guest will be roaring us into their episode, so that's definitely something you can look forward to. I love these roars. But let's introduce our guest properly. It is vocal coach to the stars and my friend, Joshua Alamu.
Our superpower is choice, and I think once that is activated, once choice is activated and it's used, then there is a result.
Not only does he teach some of the world's top singers, Rita Ora, Little Mix, and Kelly Jones from Stereophonics, to name a few, he is also founder and director of Ultimate Artists, a development camp for music artists entering the industry, and he is designer of Vocal Tubes. In this inspirational episode, I chat to Josh about his journey from bin man to vocal coach, his thoughts on what makes a mindset for success, and what he thinks makes a good singer.
Rawr.
We start the podcast with the same thing every time. What has been your very worst job in life?
I was a bin man once, and people could probably look at that as a really bad or worst job, but actually what it taught me was quite significant in my own life. So let me put it this way. There was a period of about, I think it was about 12 months. I'd stopped music because I was really confused about where I was going, confused about my voice, didn't know what was going on. I was young. Mm-hmm. I got a quick job. I read in the paper they would pay me every week, you know, something like 100 and something a week. Mm-hmm. And I just took it because it was like, you know, you get that payment every week. What it involved was going around the parks in Camden and basically cleaning up the parks early in the morning, around 4 a.m, so that people could have the park clean for the rest of the day, and then we'd go back the next day and do it again. So the shift was about 4 a.m. till 2 p.m. So obviously you'd be out there in the elements, cold, you know, rain, didn't matter, you had to do the job. It was a bit of a weird time for me, but what I got from it was a sense of calm in the mornings. Very, very quiet in that time in the morning, and also the ability to just think. So as you are in this park, you know, picking up litter off the floor, beer cans, sometimes some needles in the bushes, you know, all kinds of stuff, condoms. Yeah. Just lying there, you know, picking all this stuff up and trying to make sure it's all clean. Your mind's just going off on one and just, you know, getting lost in thought. You know, half an hour to an hour later, you look back on this park and what was once a kind of really dirty, littered park was now super clean and just looked nice. And what I got from that was a sense of achievement. Like, I did that and I felt like I'd done something really good and achieved something, because I'd look back on this park and it was super clean and I just look back on it and go, wow, it looks presentable. And then we'd go to the next one. And then sort of like 20 years later down the line, I remember working with someone after the vocal lesson. She was like, I just feel like my voice is really, and she was trying to find the word, and she said clean. And then as soon as she said that, I remembered that feeling that I got in the park was the same feeling I had when that woman had that experience with her vocal lesson.
Yeah.
And so if I take my experience, I can't really see as any, there's not been any job that has been a bad job, even if it was me in the nursing home with the old people and having to sort of bathe them, and I've done that before. It taught me about care. It taught me about, you know, how to make somebody feel, who's vulnerable, feel like they're worth something.
Yeah.
So I can't look at any job that I've done as a bad job. I just see it as an experience for me to become a better person. Yeah. And that's the truth. It's not airy-fairy. It's just the way it is.
Were there times when you were within it? Like, obviously, it's easier when you look back at stuff.
Yeah.
But did you ever feel within it that you were like...
No. I just liked to give my best to what I was doing at the time.
Yeah.
What I guess I was feeling at the time was a sense of hopelessness about my life. Not sure what my life was going to be about and where my direction was and all that. But my job kept me feeling like I was doing something good and I had the focus to do something well.
Yeah.
And so it was never, it didn't matter what the job was. I approached it with the same type of attitude. Yeah. But yes, there were things in my life that I wasn't sort of like pleased about or fed up of. But in terms of the job, no.
So from this job or these jobs, you were in music before and after. It was like in between stuff, is that
yes.
right? How did you get back to music from there?
So after that particular opportunity of working odd jobs and stuff like that, including the parks and the old people's home and things like that, I guess what would happen was one or two people would approach me and offer me an opportunity. And the opportunity was within music. So I got opportunities to do some backing vocals, which I took because people knew I sang. I had an opportunity to do some coaching with someone. So I took those opportunities really. And and I guess, you know, someone approaches you and just kind of remembers you for the things you were good at musically and goes, oh, you know, I remember you were really good at, or you were keen to do some vocal coaching. Would you like to, because I'm setting up a company and I need someone to work with and blah, blah. So I got those types of opportunities and that's how I got back into music in the sense of I was just serving other people and I enjoyed serving them with their entity or their business and kind of like being a helping hand for them. But at the same time, again, I enjoyed it and I was learning a lot during that process. So doors just open, doors just open, doors just open, doors if you work hard enough.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go back to the start, like real back to the start in music. Where did you start in music? Where does that passion come from?
Yeah, so I mean, my musical development, if you like, or interest started when I was in church. You know, my parents dragged us to church every Sunday. But what was cool about church for me was, I have no idea what they were talking about, but after church, when the musicians had come off the instruments, you know, as a young kid, you'd just go up and hit the drums and hit the keyboards and stuff. And what was cool about the environment at that time was they allowed us kids to do that. They didn't sort of like discourage us or tell us, always stop doing that. They were like, yeah, 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 go ahead. And so they kind of allowed us to just discover these instruments. So when I sort of got older, I was playing keys, I was playing drums, you know, I was playing guitars, playing bass, I was singing. And I guess with the singing part of it, though, people recognized me as maybe being better at that than the other things from a natural position, not having lessons and stuff like that. So they were like, you're a really great singer, we'd like you to keep doing this in the choir, or could you do a solo, or do you know what I mean? Those types of opportunities would come. And then later down the line, people would be like, oh, when are you going to release an album? So I think the minute you're a singer, or people deem you as good enough as a singer, the natural thing for someone to ask is, when are you releasing your album? When are you releasing your single? What songs have you, you know, that seems to be the
natural.
Are you going on X Factor? Yeah, all those types of things. Yeah. For most people, like in their minds, that's the next logical progression for you.
Yeah.
So I got that a lot. So obviously I just thought that, yeah, that's what you need to do is like get an album done and get signed. And, you know, I was kind of on that way until I taught my first lesson and, you know, by accident, and it changed everything.
Was that lesson, was that like one lesson and you were like, this is what I want to
do? It was one lesson. I got shoved in a room by my mentor, Cary Grant. At the time, it was a group called S Club 7.
Yeah.
A guy called Bradley was in a room and she was like, right, go in that room and teach him some riffs. Literally put me in there and just shut the door. And so I was in this room with him for about an hour, just teaching him some riffs to his songs and stuff. And after that hour was done, I got the shakes And the reason I got the Shakes was because I loved it so much. Mm. I loved the way he was being inspired, and I loved the way he was being empowered by what I was doing. And also, I didn't know what to do, but it was just coming out of me.
Mm.
So, you know, I guess all this stuff that had already been embedded in me was just kind of like finding its way out. And it was quite a creative, spontaneous process. I'd just think of something and go, okay, try this, and think of another thing. Yeah. So that's another way of indicating or showing that actually, you know, when you're in that position, you might have a teacher's quality within you, because it's about communication and personality and and just making someone feel a certain way and feel inspired to learn. So the feeling of enabling him and making him feel like learning was fun got me so euphoric that I was just like, now I understand when singers get on stage and they come off stage, how they feel. I never got that on stage. I loved singing, but I'd come off and be like, yeah, okay, cool. But other singers around me were like, oh my God, I really loved it. I want to do it again. I was like, yeah, it was fine. But when I did that, I got that feeling that I saw everyone else get with their thing. And that's when I knew that maybe singing wasn't really going to be my thing. But maybe as a singer, I'd have the skill set and the talent and whatever, but communicating that and teaching was going to be my path.
Do you believe in fate, or do you believe in work and choice?
Both. Yeah, I think sometimes I believe that if you work hard, right, and you develop skills and you are prepared and you basically put in the grind, you get given opportunities, and that's where the fate bit is. And the opportunities can come from random places. But if you're now ready for that opportunity, whatever the result is the result. Yeah. It can either be a yes or no, right? Yeah, or to always be kind of like, have your skills ready to do something is cool. Because if someone go, I remember my first TV job on screen, you know, I'd been studying quite hard as a vocal coach and all that. And I got put in a room and a camera in front of me. And they were like, what would you do with me if I was a singer? So I had to basically demonstrate on this producer what I would do with a singer. And I got the job. Had I not maybe been prepared for that, it might have been a different outcome. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of all of that stuff. Being in the right place at the right time. I'm fortunate to have been born in the UK. Would it be the same if I was born anywhere else? I don't know.
There's a lot of luck that goes into things as well as hard work.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about your personality that makes you able to be a teacher?
What is it about my personality? I just love it, though. I love learning. I love learning myself. I love transferring the fun of learning to others. I love the discovery of learning. I love creating an environment where people feel like totally confident to do anything, particularly make mistakes. I love creating an environment where people feel like maybe they come into it and they're like afraid. And creating that environment where by the end of it, they don't feel afraid. I love that because I think that's where the learning process really opens up. Most people don't have a problem with their voices. They have a problem with their environment.
So
they get put in a certain environment and that's where shit happens.
And they get scared.
And they get scared and then this happens. And then obviously there's a psychological side of it, which does affect the physical. And so their voices close up, but it's actually a very real thing because the muscles just start to get tighter, all of that stuff. But then you put them in the shower.
And they sing perfectly.
And they sing perfectly, you know?
Yeah.
I think for me, I think maybe creating that environment that feels like it's in the they're in the shower, I think maybe that helps my teaching.
I love that as well. I love it. Just seeing people's confidence grow is my favorite thing. It doesn't even matter if someone is a naturally good singer sometimes. Sometimes I'll have someone who wants to just be good at karaoke and seeing their confidence grow from someone who will come in and be so sheepish in their first lesson. And it transfers to the rest of their life as
well. It does indeed,
How do you define success? What do you think success is?
Absolutely doing and thriving in what you love. That's it. So nowadays, I feel like I'm thriving in what I love. And the cool thing about that is I'm able to, you know, support my family from a, you know, economic point of view. So I can go into work and
it's just amazing to go into work every day. 20 years ago when I started, I wasn't in that position. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember setting up my gear was in this place in Hendon. I'd mm-hmm. clean the room because a martial arts company used it.
Right.
So I'd had to clean it and like spray it because it was all sweaty and, you know, moldy smelling mm-hmm. and BO smelling. I'd love it. I'd, you know, get the environment really right, set up my keyboard and my speakers. It'd take me about an hour and a half to do this. And then I had, through phone call appointments, had people's names on a piece of paper who had booked the lessons, mm-hmm. hadn't paid in advance,
yeah.
but booked the lessons. So I knew I had about five people in, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Client one would call, I'm really sorry, blah, blah, blah happened, and I'm not going to be able to make it. Can you make any other day? Can we come in tomorrow? And then you'd kind of try and arrange something else. Mm-hmm. Done. Okay, cool. Client two, same thing. Client three, same thing. Different reasons, mm-hmm. same thing. And there was one time where all five cancelled.
Oh, no.
You know what happened? I was just like, okay, right. What else can I get on with? I can read this article that I missed.
Mm-hmm.
I can work on these chords that I've been mm-hmm. trying to get down. I can work on this song, or I can mm-hmm. just something, just be productive, teach myself something, do a whole bunch of riffs myself and just like lock in some
yeah.
skill sets with my own voice. So I used the time productively. And then obviously, as you start to wisen up, you kind of just say to yourself, okay, that can't keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make some adjustments. And so I think that from back then, it was just in me to do it. I remember as a kid, when I speak to singers, they're like hairbrush in hand when they were kids, in the mirror, being the Spice yeah. Girls or being Michael Jackson or whatever. I had a book in my hand. And I was literally lecturing. It just came to me like some months back that that's what I was doing as a kid.
Yeah.
I had a book in my hand and I was lecturing. So I was almost like teaching. So I guess that combination of like the teaching passion
yeah.
and the singing passion came together. I could have gone down the singing route and, you know, I was in a band and we were signed.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, you know what? I didn't want it. I genuinely didn't want it. And mm-hmm. so I didn't become a teacher because I didn't do well in something else
mm-hmm.
or I wanted to pursue something else and didn't quite. I became a teacher because I wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah.
And I think that has really helped in my development in terms of my vocation and mm-hmm. where I've come to, where I'm going,
yeah.
you know, my forward thinking in terms of what I want to be as a vocal coach or whatever people want to call me. Mentor. And also I've had great mentors.
Mm.
That's the other thing. I've had some really, really good mentors. And I think a lot of that has rubbed off on me as well.
Having good people around you is so important.
Massively.
I think. Because it's so easy to be dragged down by people or just by energies of people who feel that things aren't possible.
Yeah.
But when other people around you feel like things are possible, then you start to...
Oh, 100%. David and Cary Grant, who were my main mentors mm. and still are, like, for life, right?
Mm-hmm.
They kept seeing things in me and were like, Josh, you'd be great at like harmonic arrangements. You'd be such a good producer. Mm. You'd be, and I have all those skill sets in me because they would ask me like to pursue it and tell me, go ahead and pursue it. Mm. And I would, and I'd enjoy. So, you know, having all that as well
yeah.
and bringing that into the mix as yeah. a coach and everything just opens up so many more doors as well.
Yeah.
So I'm so grateful to them because my life definitely mm-hmm. could have gone down a different way,
yeah.
you know, in terms of crime and all that kind of stuff. It could have done. There was a moment in my life, a little blip
mm-hmm.
in my life where I could have definitely gone down that road. But fortunately, because of good people, I didn't.
Was that just from people around you again?
Yeah, I think it was just like, you know, peer pressure and, you know, school and wanted to be accepted a certain way and
mm-hmm.
all of that kind of stuff. And just being kind of like misdirected and not having anyone to show you anything positive mm-hmm. or a different way.
Yeah.
And those two, when I joined their band, I just saw a different world. You know, they showed me that you can go on tour with people and earn a shitload of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be in a choir with the Spice Girls or,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that appealed to me more
mm-hmm.
than wanting to go into a shop and steal stuff or yeah.
It's amazing how like little moments can really completely change your life
yeah.
path.
And I'm one of those people, like, it doesn't take a lot.
Yeah.
You only need to like show me the worst thing that could happen to me, and I'll be like, okay, not doing it.
Yeah, you know? That's sensible.
Yeah, like my kids are like, yeah, so what? You know, like you show them maybe what, like not my kids, but you know, I can imagine I show them like, this is what alcohol could do to you, and they're like, yeah, whatever.
What?
Yeah, I still drink. You know, for me it was like you showed me and I was like, okay, not touching that. That's the type of person I was. Not everybody's like that.
Yeah.
People like the danger, people like the trouble, and some people learn that way as well. They have to get into trouble and then they learn. I wasn't like that. I was such a goody two shoes. You that's what could happen, or you'll be in trouble. Yeah. And that, just the thought, I don't even know what the trouble is or what that even looks like, but yeah, just the word "you'll be in trouble" was enough to make me go, okay, cool.
That's funny.
You know? And obviously, sometimes you do have to learn the hard way as well.
What do you think makes a good voice?
What makes a good voice? Gosh, there's so many ways you can answer that question. Mm-hmm. Tone of voice could be the type of energy your voice carries when somebody's communicating something.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes a good voice from that perspective, or what makes a good voice from just a normal sound perspective? Which one are you going for?
I'm leaving that open to you, because I think it is really interesting in that, like, people cannot have a technically good voice,
right,
but then be so successful and really make people feel.
Got you. Yeah, so you're talking from a sound kind of thing. Okay, all right. The ability to have emotions, translate accurately through your tone, through the nuances of your tone, that's what makes a good voice. Yeah. So the sadness, the happiness, the turmoil, the elevation, the elation, the love, the pain, if you're able to translate that through your tone and someone can literally feel every part of that emotion, whether you're technically efficient or not, that's a good voice for me.
Yeah.
Because what happens is somebody ends up feeling something way beyond that translates way beyond what just a normal voice can do or just a technical voice can do. It's about communicating the inner stuff and making that manifest in the outer stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that is what makes a really great voice.
Do you think that you have to go through life pain to be able to communicate that?
100%. Now, you have some young people that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
They've never been through anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to be old souls. If you believe in this, if you believe in reincarnation, which I do, they were someone before and they've just come back into this young body.
Yeah.
And they're able to translate. You know, there's a painter, her name's Akian. I don't know if you've ever seen her paintings. So by the age of like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, she was painting things that no child her age should even be able to paint like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you actually listen to that girl speak, you can see this is not no ordinary young girl. This is someone that has lived, man.
Yeah.
You know, and has embodied this body. And is doing some incredible stuff. Like at 12 years old, her paintings, her lifelike facial paintings were like real.
Yeah.
They look real. I mean, how does a... You just can't do that. Do you know what I mean? So there's people like that. But if they're not in that category, then, I think you need to have been through some stuff first to really know how you're going to communicate.
Yeah.
That shit. Yeah.
It's a really fine line, isn't it, with artists, because a lot of really great artists have had difficult lives, and I think that's partially part of their genius.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I guess in some ways it's a shame that people have to go through that to be able to be that genius.
No.
And also it's difficult then to make the most of your talent if you're going through a lot of mental turmoil.
You know what? It's about expression. You know, I think human beings were designed to be able to worship or to be able to celebrate or express something, whether it's through football or art or singing or graphics, whatever it is. For a human being, there needs to be an outlet. There needs to be something that inspires.
Yeah.
So that could be pain. or that could be looking at the sunset
mm-hmm.
and being inspired by those things. But there also needs to be an outlet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, sure. What we eat, it comes out, right? It's from an emotional point of view,
yeah.
That's the same thing. Something comes in,
mm.
It has to come out. And so I think that as long as a human being has the ability to have that outlet,
yeah.
that's where the genius can start. If that is stifled in any way,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, it becomes a bit of a problem, you know, because then the outlet comes in ways that are very unpredictable,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But music is such an incredible outlet for a lot of us that mm-hmm. we're able to utilize that vehicle properly to really say what it is we're trying to say, and it's a release for us,
yeah,
you know, but at the same time it's a release for someone else who's listening, because we're all going through the same things, just in different colors or whatever,
yeah.
But we're so the minute I hear about, I remember hearing love songs and just, you know, you're like the moon to me, you shine like the star, and I'd be like, yeah, okay. Because I never experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I experienced a love like that, that lyric
made sense.
Made complete sense. Mm-hmm. And it was like that person took the words right out of my mouth and said it. And I was like, that's what I feel. That's what I feel. Wow. And so then you become hooked on what that person's saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, very interesting. And we're so connected that way.
Yeah. And I guess that's also what makes a lot of artists great, because they manage to express things in a way that other people can really
Absolutely.
Understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's amazing.
That's the genius part, isn't it? If they can do that really well, then they're geniuses.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rawr. Cool. The all quick right, fire rounds.
Let's do it.
All right. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Music or lyrics?
Music.
Cats or dogs?
Neither.
Oh. Creativity or logic?
Creativity.
Plane or train?
Train.
Beer or wine?
Neither.
Sweet treats or savory snacks?
Sweet.
City or countryside?
Country.
Matching or odd socks?
Odd.
Oh, this one's telling, I think. Guitar or piano?
Piano.
Friday night in or Friday night out?
In.
Modern or vintage?
Vintage.
Black and white or Technicolor?
Technicolor.
Moose or mouse?
Moose.
Rawr. Before we start the second half of the podcast, I wanted to tell you a little bit about my experience working with Josh. I was working in musical theatre and wanted to learn a little bit of vocal style. Now, even though I was a voice professional at the time, I really thought that you had to work with the voice you were given. I didn't realise the possibility for change and improvement. Working with Josh, I even realised I could learn to riff and run, which if you knew me at the time, I thought this was impossible. I thought my voice was like a brick and I'd never be able to do this. But perhaps even more importantly, I learned that with a bit of know-how, with hard work and the knowledge that you have someone in your corner, you can do anything you want to with your voice and your career. And this inspired me to become a vocal coach. I wanted to share this with others. So thanks, Josh.
Rawr.
Do you think that anyone can learn to sing?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I guess there is a balance between being a natural singer.
Of course.
And
yeah,
like so, anything.
You know, my kid can sing and I'm not going to discredit him or her
mm-hmm.
and start saying, oh, your tone's bad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to sell records, that's a whole different ballgame. But yeah, anyone can be taught to sing. I mean, we're singing from birth anyway. We're screaming out and the vocal cords are moving and sound is coming through, you know, and so we're already doing that from the minute we come out of the mother's womb. And whether you sell records or not is a, like I said, a different ballgame. But yeah, I think anyone can be taught to sing.
Yeah. Even if you don't want to sell records, it's such a...
It's a great outlet.
It is a great outlet. It's good for your soul.
100%. 100%.
Has there ever been a time in your life that you've doubted your ability to get to where you are now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time, even now.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Mm-hmm.
You look at something and you're just like, that's not possible. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough for that.
Because you seem so positive about things. That's one of the things that I think's your kind of superpower, that you're able to find the positive in difficult situations.
Yeah, I think faith is a lot to do with that. I think understanding that we're on the earth for a limited amount of time is a lot to do with that. I read somewhere that bravery is not the absence of fear. Bravery is knowing that the fear is there but you still go ahead with it anyway. And that's my philosophy on life. I just think sometimes you need to sit and just recalibrate and just go, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen if I don't do this? What's the worst thing that could happen if I do this? And then you start to weigh things up and then you make a choice. Our superpower is choice. We can choose to be positive, we can choose to be negative, we can choose to have faith, we can choose not to have faith, we can choose to hope, we can choose to doubt, we can choose to love, we can choose to hate, we can choose to sing, we can choose to stay silent, we can choose to help, we can choose not to help. Our superpower is choice. And I think once that is activated, once choice is activated and it's used, then there is a result. I could have not gone and worked at those parks. I could have just stayed at home and just mulled in there and go, oh, I don't know what to do in my life. But actually, I was like, no, I've got stuff to pay for. I need money. I need to get a job. Let's find any job, anything. And let's just make it happen. And then we'll take it from there. Choice, right? And then your life starts to open up and move forward in different ways. So I think, my superpower is choice. Doesn't mean I don't face doubt and doesn't mean I don't face all these very real things. But I just get myself to a point where when I feed myself with the right energies, with the right information, words are power, words are life. So if there's anyone out there that is like saying something that has a lot of life and truth in it, I will listen to it and I will digest it and I will feed on it. And so it could be anything from like Tony Robbins to a really brilliant speaker that just speaks about, you know, spiritual things or whatever. And if it's making sense and if it's giving me this feeling inside of like, okay, right, it's possible to, then I want to feed on that even more because what you take in, that's what you become. So then if I'm now becoming more positive or whatever, it's not because I am, it's because that's what I'm feeding on. So naturally that's what's going to come out. So it's a battle, though, to feed. It's a battle to feed on those things because we're so bombarded by all kinds of shit in the media all the time.
So much negativity.
Yeah. So you can either feed on that and wake up with that, or you can feed on something else and wake up with that. So I just choose to feed on the right stuff as well.
Yeah. What would you say to someone who's really struggling with that? Because you have a bit of a natural ability to see things in a positive light, because some people just don't have that to begin with. And often it's that first step which is the hardest thing when you're feeling that negative.
I don't think anyone had a natural anything. You know, I mentioned Akian. Those people are totally different. I don't understand that. Because it's very, very unique, right? You know, the Einsteins and the Mozart. So I don't get it. It's just like, I think it was Mozart at the age of 5 was playing some mad things on the piano. Like, you don't get that.
Yeah.
I think that's different. I think everyone else, all us other humans, we're never natural at anything. I think things are learned and things are grown. I don't think that things are ever just like there, you know, apart from if you're this 3%. You have to grow stuff. You have to nurture it. And so I would say from a young age, I just was nurturing certain things early, or people who were in my life or I was fortunate to have in my life helped me to nurture those things. So I've gotten to a point where my cup is so full
Yeah.
That, yeah, it might seem like it's natural now, but I can guarantee you it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for anyone else out there, you know, that is in that situation, I think sometimes the first step is talking to someone, and talking to someone that has the right energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just say, for argument's sake, it's just someone that you know that's really positive. Speak to them. See what rubs off on you from what they've got.
That's why I have a Josh around.
Yeah, right. That's why I have a Beth around. You know, spend time with them.
Yeah.
Birds of a feather flock together. So what they have will rub off on you. What you have sometimes will rub off on them.
Yeah,
and that's a good energy to have. And then the next thing is, again, I really believe in this, after maybe talking to somebody, which I highly encourage, is just feed your mind with the right shit. You know, read one of those books. I came in here, saw The 4-Hour Work Week, which is an amazing book, and all this other stuff. Like, read it.
Mm-hmm.
Go and watch Oprah Winfrey or read her biography or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, feed your mind and your soul with this really positive stuff, you know, and see what starts to happen to your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Your thinking just starts to elevate. And I think you can either see things from a higher perspective, or you can see things from a lower perspective. And every time I'm in a plane, this always fascinates me. When you're on the top and you're coming down and you can just see bird's eye view of everything, everything seems so small. Everything feels like it looks so easy. It looks so like manageable when you look at it from that perspective. The minute you start coming down and you can't see from that, it all looks quite big and like, you know, the trees are now a lot taller than you and everything seems a bit different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes feeding on that energy helps you just to see from a bird's eye view, and you can make better decisions that way.
Yeah.
You can figure things up a little bit different. Yeah. Take regular walks.
Yeah.
I walk a lot.
I like that as well.
Just the act of walking, there's a science behind it in what it does to the brain.
Being outside as well.
Yeah.
We're inside a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in the city.
Exactly.
So it's nice to be. I sit outside in my mornings and have a meditate outside. So I love that.
That's the one.
I also think that it's really interesting and really important that you sort out your headspace as much as possible, because a lot of my singers will be like, how am I going to fix my voice? And a lot of the time I will be like, look at how you're thinking about things first. Because for me personally, I was like singing and singing and singing and it was all kind of fine. But until I sorted out my headspace, I didn't seem to find the success I wanted to. And maybe actually it was the same amount of like success in terms of society, but it didn't feel like that to me.
That's a really interesting thought, because you know what? I don't go to the gym a lot, but I do try and work out just to keep healthy more than anything. And I know of guys who are like proper gym boys, meatheads, you know, they're just massive.
Mm-hmm.
But their motivation for being that huge internally is, I never want to be bullied again. Never want to be bullied again. No one's ever going to intimidate me again. And they're pumping weights from that energy. Yeah. Someone else is in there just going, yeah, I just want to be fit. Just want to look good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's different energy. And so even with the singing side of things, you could be training because you want to be better than someone.
Yeah.
You want to prove something to somebody that maybe said you can't sing, you know, and so you're training from that perspective. And you might even get really good.
Yeah.
But then someone else is going, actually, I just want to be able to freely express myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a completely different energy. But when you put those two people together, there's a difference in the way they perform.
Yeah.
There's a difference in the way they react to stuff.
Yeah.
There's a difference in the way they behave.
Yeah.
You know, and how they translate to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the divide happens. So I agree with you, like, just the headspace and where people are and the motivation that they have for doing something, their why.
Very important.
It's super. It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
What is your why? You know, at one point, my why for coaching became, I want to work with people who were like really famous. And it just became a little bit, another little blip in my life, you know, like, why are you thinking that way? Like, what the fuck qualifies you to even, and why do you need? And so I got to a point where internally, as I was dealing with this shit, was like, why, but why? And then you know what it ended up being? I found through self-discovery that I thought that that's how I would get validation.
Mm-hmm.
as to how good I am as, and I'm like, why are you thinking about how good you are, or like, just help people, you know? And it just became a little thing for a minute, and I had to nip it in the bud and go, Josh, you're an idiot for even going down that road. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. So it's so easy to go down that road.
It is. And it's just good to check in with yourself and to check in with people. No, it was something I knew in me and I had to sit and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I've been teaching for a while and I thought, you know, I had certain experiences like the TV show, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I thought I was entitled. I don't know what it was, yeah. But it was dumb. Mm-hmm. It was a very stupid thing to think. And it could have taken me down a path that I would have just turned into a dick, right?
Mm.
But I stopped it whilst it was still very early,
mm-hmm.
and then decided, right, you know what? Leave all this music shit alone and just help people,
mm-hmm.
and develop this because you love it.
Yeah.
Done. And the moment I did let that go and I started operating from that perspective,
mm-hmm.
later down the line, all of that other stuff that I thought I wanted and more happened.
It's so funny how that happens, because I feel like it's exactly the same in my life. The things that I was like, mm-hmm. I just really, really wanted and was getting all wrapped up in.
Yes.
As soon as I actually let it go, then they ended up happening. And then I wasn't worried about them. And I actually enjoyed things.
So much more. It's that thing like, if I hold on to this, that's all I've got.
Yeah.
The minute I let it go,
yeah.
I've actually got, the whole world now can come into my hand.
And different things turn up as well that you didn't even expect.
Totally.
I think maybe you just have that open mind that you allow different opportunities to turn up when you didn't
that
expect.
That growth mindset is everything. That open-minded mindset mm-hmm. is everything, because you never know where your blessing is really going to come. You mm-hmm. think it's here, but actually it's over there.
Yeah.
And then some of this comes in, but it's not about that. It's about something bigger,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think there's a plan and there's the purpose. And sometimes we're too obsessed about the plan
yeah.
and not enough about the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So it's because the plan can change.
Yeah, for sure.
But as long as the purpose is the same,
yeah.
it's all good. Let the plan be whatever. So mm-hmm. you came from Scotland.
Yeah.
You didn't know you're going to be living in England. You didn't know you're going to be doing a podcast. You don't know you're going to have 2
yeah.
billion people on your YouTube channel. you
no,
know,
I
right?
didn't. Yeah.
You just didn't know all that.
No.
But whatever your purpose became, which was about just making a difference to people's lives,
yeah.
the plan can be whatever it is, as long as that is the purpose. Mm. And now you're doing incredible things. But it enables us to create those opportunities more.
Mm-hmm.
You start something, you light a fire,
mm-hmm.
and then that fire becomes this really interesting opportunity on a boat, or then that fire becomes something else where
yeah.
you decide you're going to start a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Like, you're just starting fires all over the place.
Yeah.
And you have, you know what's really interesting, and I'll say this about you, you have no idea how your podcast, your YouTube channel is impacting somebody far away. You've got no clue. But it's affecting somebody right now who is giving them that joy. It's giving them
yeah,
that sense of like, life is better.
Yeah.
Through the fire you've started.
Yeah. One of the things that I get messages about is always about positivity. And that's one of the things for me that I just wanted it to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously there is a space for people to be like super critical or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I just wanted to spread
a
little
right.
bit of happy.
That's right.
And something that I love, which is singing. So what has been your greatest challenge so far?
I think it boils back to, apart from like relationships with people, because
mm-hmm.
I think those can always be challenging
yeah.
in different
yeah.
ways. Myself.
Yeah.
I'm my biggest challenge. Just overcoming the obstacles in myself.
Yeah.
My
Our own head.
My own limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
You know, particularly that.
Yeah.
Okay, Josh, you're in a good place. Mentally, you're good.
Mm.
You know, you're not clinging on to the wrong things anymore. You've let go. You're not materialistic. You've let that go. You've almost like let go of everything and you're good. So why are you limiting yourself then?
Mm.
Why do you think you couldn't do that, or you can't create that, or you can't make that huge building that you've been dreaming of for 20 years happen? Why? And it's like, I don't know. I just don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
You know, but actually it's because when we have a dream of something. Mm-hmm. Like if the universe or God was to show you your end goal, it look amazing, right?
Yeah, a massive.
Super cool. You'd look at it and go, oh my God, I'm going to be that. Yes. And then he was like, wait. I'm just going to show you the blueprint of how you're going to get there, though. If he was to show us that blueprint,
yeah,
we'd all probably go, I don't want to do that. Why do I have to go through that?
Yeah.
Why do I have to do that? Why can't I just get rid of that pain and just get there?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to go through that hardship? But actually, those resistances, they're the things that make us stronger. And that's what I'm beginning to realize is with every big dream, there has to be a challenge that you must go through. And I love this. The word change is within the word challenge.
Yeah.
So you cannot produce change without a challenge. You just can't.
Yeah.
It's not possible. There has to be something difficult that you go through because it will teach you something.
Yeah.
And once you overcome that and you learn from that, that's where the change and the breakthrough happens, because you're empowered with understanding and with knowledge, which will lead to the right kind of action.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I've always limited the fact that I can even pick up that thing and learn it or understand it, you know, in order to make that change happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to kind of like reassess that and go, Josh, you can learn anything you put your mind to. If you just sit with it and look at it long enough, you will learn it.
Yeah.
We can learn anything.
Yeah.
Whether it's languages, whether it's code, whatever it is, you just sit with it long enough, you can learn it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And we can always find people to help us with things as
well.
That
as well.
That's, I don't know, I'm not a maths person.
Yes.
And sometimes there are moments where you're like, you just need to sit down and do that. But also, if you really feel you can't, find someone who can.
Oh, 100%. But I think that's still a part of the learning process is that you find a good teacher.
Yeah.
You find a good mentor, like, okay, you know, when it came to the physics side of like voice, I was just like, no. But you know what I did? I sat with people that were brilliant at it and I started to learn just bite-sized bits of what they knew, just tiny chunks, the tiniest chunk. And I would like 2 years later understand that tiny chunk and then go back to them for more. You know, I remember a teacher that I know of, and I would sit with him on Skype and just go, see that thing you spoke about the last Skype session? He's like, yeah. So just repeat it all again, please. And I'd just sit there and just listen to him again. And he was so gracious. He would just be like, yeah, I'll go over it again. And then I'd sit with him a third time and go, see what we did those two times? Can you just repeat it again? And then the third time I'd find myself asking questions. Okay, so you know this. And then before you knew what, I started to really understand it.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, you're so right. Like learning from the perspective of you learning it yourself and learning with somebody who knows it is key, really, really key. So, yeah, I think that's been my greatest challenge is the change in myself and the time maybe to make that change effective, not being too busy with things. And sometimes actually when I'm too busy with something is because I know that I can't do it.
Yeah.
And so I get myself busy with something else. But actually I need to just come back to that thing and just like deal with it.
Yeah. And what is your greatest accomplishment on the opposite of that?
I think it's probably not music related. My greatest accomplishment has to be my children. I think my five kids are my Oscars.
Yeah.
I want to just put into them so much good stuff that they just become amazing people that do whatever they do in this earth to affect it in a positive way, doing what they do best. So I think that remains to be seen, I guess, you know, in terms of my greatest accomplishment or whatever. That still remains to be seen because it's still all work in progress. So
it always will be as well.
Yeah, totally.
If you had one ability that you could have gained tomorrow, what would it be?
Flying.
Flying! So that you could look above and get your perspective.
Exactly. Yeah, I just fly everywhere.
Yeah, fantastic.
I fly to my sessions, I fly to podcasts, I fly to different countries, just get there take a break maybe halfway. If I'm flying to Australia from here,
yeah,
you know, it's a long ass flight, so I'd stop off somewhere, eat something, mm-hmm. put the money back in my little flight pouch, mm-hmm. and just go off again. Yeah, yeah. Flight would be the one for me.
Mm. Yeah, I think that would be wicked as well. Yeah. Okay, this is the final one.
Go on then.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to enter the music industry?
Oh, wow.
It's so broad, so.
Okay, here's what I will start with then. If you are serious about entering the music industry, you must prepare yourself to fully understand these things. One, that you are entering into an industry where everybody's opinion, they have the right to it. So if they want to tell you you look shit, sound good, sound bad, that is what you are opening yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
Fully understand the repercussion of that for yourself. If you are not ready emotionally to handle that very open playing field, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to prepare yourself inwardly to handle that mm-hmm. in the right way, go for it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Because music isn't like football. Like if I'm Man U, I'm Man U for life. You know, it's not like that.
Yeah.
You know, a proper Man U supporter is not going to jump to Arsenal mm-hmm. 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or Liverpool. No, it's not going to happen. They if the team loses, they're there. If the team wins, they're there.
Yeah,
you know, if the manager changes, whatever, they're just there, mm-hmm. right? Music ain't like that. Music is like, I 1 minute I like you, then the next minute I like you, and then actually you're better than him, so I'm now going to follow you, and you're not that good anymore. And mm-hmm. that's what music is like, you know? Just be prepared that that's what you're opening yourself up to, and so people can come in and say, actually, I don't really like your music, and it's totally fine.
Yeah.
Because there are some people that will like your music, and that's totally fine as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. Be prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
Entering into the music industry means that at some point you are moving from working just by yourself to working with a corporate entity.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared for that. If you don't have people skills, forget it. If you can't work with other people, forget it. If you don't know how to measure someone else's response to something and find common ground, forget it. If you're not prepared to listen to a team of people that have been working there for years about how something should go, what song to release, whether they're right or wrong, but come to a level playing ground, if you're not prepared to deal with that, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
If you just want to make your own decisions and do what you want, you just forget it. It's not going to work like that.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. I think those two things really, because you can build the skills, you can become a great songwriter, you can become excellent, so excellent, you know, that it's undeniable, all those things. But those two initial things I've mentioned, if you don't have that, you will absolutely fall on your face when it comes to the music industry. You will not succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't actually have what it takes. You might have the skill set, which is fine. If that's go and be a session musician,
mm-hmm.
you know, or session singer or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to get into that point where like a company is relying on you for income,
mm-hmm.
as in you are the product, you need to have those two things locked in or be learning to nurture those things in yourself as you live, as you move on.
Gotta have thick skin for sure.
Oh man, yeah. And also that there's the other thing that the music industry is so wise, so many other things you can do.
Mm.
See what other things you're good at and what other things you can get involved in. Doesn't have to be this one obsessive thing, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that's the kind of a mistake that, I mean, all of us make. I mean, I did for a while, and that you go for like what you think is the right thing. And then once you find out all these things around it, like for me, it's been like the same as you. It's been like coaching and things like that. But there's so many other avenues you can go around.
Well, exactly. I mean, and the same thing with me, even as a coach, I never thought that I would, you know, be able to set up a company known as Ultimate Artists and, you know, now be working on like a huge building in Northwest London. And I never even dreamed of that. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's like that's an opportunity. That's something that I could be doing. I don't just have to do this or just this.
Yeah.
I can think bigger. I can think smaller, like whatever the vision is. You can be it. So, yeah, just absolutely understanding that people are going to have their opinions and you need to be prepared for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to understand that working in a corporate environment is a reality and you're going to have to play tag with this corporate environment when it comes to your creativity. And it's about intelligently just putting your logic across and taking some of their logic and try and put the two together. And then having thick skin, like you said, just being aware that there's so many other things in the music industry that you can do, especially as the internet and everything is just expanding things. There's niches that we don't even know about yet that are still being discovered, you know, so... You know, if you're in the industry as well and you can see something, you can see a gap somewhere, fill it. Fill that gap, man.
All right. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Rawr. Big thank you to Josh. I was so pleased when he agreed to come on to season two, as he has been so instrumental in my development as a singer, as a vocal coach, and just as a person. Do go check out his vocal tubes. You can get yours on Amazon, and you can also find out a little bit more at the website vocaltubes.com. And if you're an artist hoping to get into the music industry, I would really suggest you check out Ultimate Artists. I actually went to Ultimate Artists as a student a few years back, and it was hands down one of the best learning experiences I have ever had. So go check out ultimateartists.co.uk. Don't forget to subscribe, rate and review us on your podcast app of choice. It really helps us bring these amazing stories to new people. Also, if you'd like to drop us an email, please do at goodjob@bethroars.com. And if you'd like to support the podcast and get early access to episodes, head over to patreon.com/bethroars. Once again, massive thank you to Josh, to James and Kazra at One Fine Play for the beautiful edits, to my co-producer Tom Court for all his hard work, and to you guys for listening. See you in the next one. Bye.
Scoop it up,
weep,
wow. Good job.
Rawr. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.